Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. It seems as though, again, we see this happen more often than we would like to admit, or more often than, it's kind of surprising how often it happens, when all of the issues in Sunday school, the afternoon session, and the preaching from the pulpit all sort of converge on one issue having to do with type, anti-type, law, and the New Testament believer. And here we find it again. Mind you, I am following the book of Romans expositorily. I am following it through the text. And this morning we come to this marvelous text of verses 8. We had just come out before Easter, finishing verses 1 through 7 about the believer's relationship to civil authorities, to that kind of thing. This morning, we take only these two verses, and I have entitled the message, "You Owe Me." Okay, so it's a little, what do you call it? off the cuff, but you'll see what I'm talking about. Owe no one anything except to love one another. You owe me. You owe me. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, teach us, O Lord, that it is your law and your commandments, your precepts, your testimonies, your word that is eternal in the heavens, never changing, always right, in whatever dispensation we might understand them to be in, your word is true. Bless, Father, and as we teach and try to deliver understanding about how the New Testament believer is related to your precious law, this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't want anybody to ever say that I, Victor Edwards, and pastor of Spurgeon Heritage Church, despise the law of God when I teach that the law of God, the Ten Commandments, and the law of Moses, it has been abrogated, is now obsolete. It does not mean that I have any despite for that law and the commandments at all. What I am searching for is the proper perspective, the proper relationship of that law to the New Testament believer, and the superiority of the faith way. We are no longer under law, but under grace. And that's what we're trying to figure out. I have no more despite from the law, about the law, than did the Apostle Paul, who said the very words that I just said. And the author of Hebrews says that when the new has come, the old is passing away and is obsolete. And it is that sense. But we need to spend more time refining this position. That is to say, what is stated in here. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Verse 10. All of the commandments are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, it's interesting because we just read those passages from the Old Testament, and then again from the New Testament. And I did it purposely to juxtapose. There's that word, guys, juxtapose, to put it on a balance to compare and contrast. The fact that the Old Testament passage, Leviticus chapter 19, spoke of love your neighbor as yourself. So you have a New Testament teaching back in the Old Testament. Don't you just love that? I do. And then in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 13, you have these commandments listed. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, etc. and so forth. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to your neighbor. It's kind of like the law now teaching the New Testament principle of love. Well, it's the reason I pointed out that even in the very passage that Jaron read from Leviticus 19, that there were elements in there of the law and the requirements of the Israelites that had no part in the Ten Commandments whatsoever, weren't mentioned. About the lame and the blind and all that kind of stuff, and justice in the courts and justice in your judgment of your neighbor and all those kinds of things, wasn't even in the Ten Commandments. Well, that means that the Ten Commandments, the role of the Ten Commandments is different than what many people take them to be. I want to talk this morning, though, from this passage, these two verses, about a couple of errors that exist about the law and about love. Since love is the fulfillment of the law. Isn't that right? Isn't that what this very text has said? Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. That's what it says. Now, does that mean, I'm going to go last first, and so does that mean that all I have to do is leave my neighbor alone and I fulfilled God's purpose of love? I see you frowned, Tom. And he did so rightly. That is not what it means. It is not that you just leave your neighbor alone and you fulfilled God's love to your neighbor. No, love does your neighbor no harm. You shall not commit adultery. The two errors are these. On the one hand, that we don't need any commandments at all. And that's an expression of love. That love somehow replaces and has no commandments. That the New Testament or the New Covenant love and the principle that love fulfills the law, that there are no commandments required. And yet the whole New Testament is full of commandments. Don't do this. Don't do that. And here he even uses the Ten Commandments. So love requires rules. There are commandments that we are to keep. But they're not composed only of the Ten Commandments, but rather any other law, he says. And if there be any other commandments, and now we know from the New Testament, there are hundreds of other commandments of what not to do. You should. They're all summed up in this one, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, all of you remember the Beatles. Does everybody remember the Beatles? That's an old reference to Saturday Night Live. Beatles. The Beatles. All you need is love. You all remember the song, don't you? Even if you're of any age at all. Wait a minute, I forget. They're back there's Di and Jaron. Oh, they're so young. And then Clay and Christina. Maybe you don't remember this song, All You Need Is Love? No, so Christina's shaking her head no. And I have to always remind myself. But there was a Beatles song called All You Need Is Love. And it basically communicated what you think it communicated, is forget all of the rules and all this stuff. All you need is love. It was kind of a mushy 1970s, 60s and 70s kind of understanding of love. And it was during the time of a war in Vietnam, during the time of free love, where people just had sex with whoever they wanted to. All you need is love and a little dope to go along with it. Okay. And so it was that context of the love of this song, All You Need Is Love. And I'm afraid that it actually had far too much influence in our world, and that it cheapened the very notion of love. And one of the things that we came out of the 60s with was the fact that what love had been deprecated terribly. So that it was now hard to discern what was true love and what wasn't. And I think, but the song sort of captured it all. And some would say that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. All you need is love. That is not what he's saying. He is saying that love does no harm to its neighbor. But he is not saying all you need is love, forget the rules and all this kind of stuff. You still hear that slop, don't you, on songs and stuff. All we need is peace in the world. And I think it's a stereotype now, beauty queen says the same thing. What do you want to do with your life? I want to bring peace to the world. Yeah, okay. All right, good. We wish you well in that. but folks, peace, love, all those things are a little bit more complicated than we're trying to make it out to be. And that there is no such thing where all you need is this amorphous love for everybody. You know that it really upsets me when we start talking like that, as though the Christian love is that same kind of thing. That rules or doctrines, how it's used in the world today, any doctrines divide Christians, so we don't need any doctrines. All we need is love. Pure slop. Sentimental slop. And it's not an understanding of the Word of God at all. Because he says that this love says, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. All of those things are comprised in the one rule, and that is the rule of love. If you love somebody, if you love your neighbor, you do not have adulterous relationship with them. Got it? Does that make... That's a rule. Anybody who has an adulterous relationship with your neighbor is a sinner and is not loving. Anyone who covets your neighbor's stuff is not a loving neighbor. You have violated God's law of love. And it is in this context that I put the title, You Owe Me. The only one thing you owe me, and you are never out of the debt. You're not supposed to owe any man anything. Please don't bother me with the stuff about can you take out a mortgage and stuff. I don't want to talk about that. We'll talk about that later. This is not economic training in Romans chapter 13. This is about love and law. We'll talk about that other stuff later. But you're not to owe any man anything unduly, but one thing you must owe, and you continue to owe until you die, is you owe me love. You owe it to me, and I owe it to you. That's the Christian way. This is an obligation and a debt that you'll never get out from under. And so you're always completing that debt. And he says this is to do no harm to your neighbor and to keep the commandments. You remember Jesus saying, John, I think it's John in his letter, says, how will you know when you're a disciple of Christ? You keep his commandments. Are there New Testament commandments? Of course there are. Are there Old Testament commandments? Of course there are. The fact that the law is abrogated and obsolete, does that mean that it's okay somehow to commit adultery, to steal, to lie, to cheat, to hate God? Well, that's ridiculous. And every person understands that. Another expression of all you need is love is we have a perfect example, perfect illustration, I should say. That is Aaron's letter to the editor. I don't know if you've all read it by now, but he wrote a letter to the editor. That's okay. I'm not going to read it. But he wrote a letter to the editor in response to a person that was basically singing All You Need Is Love for your homosexual friends. And that he set forth, I thought, a rather brief and excellent argument and biblical case against homosexuality. But her approach was, all we need is love. Let's stop all this stuff about rules, about homosexuality and all that kind of stuff, and just love one another. Let them go about their business the way they love one another and all this kind of good stuff. That's the 60s Beatles sloppy idea of love. That's not the biblical idea of love. And so that's what I want to talk briefly about, the two errors that come from this. The first one is obvious, that somehow an error is passed along that we have no need of commandments, no need of rules, even though, as I've already said, the Bible's full of them. And the New Testament and the Old Testament, you don't do this, you don't do that. The Apostle Paul has four different lists of awful sins that aren't even hardly mentioned in the Old Testament. Now, they're related in concept and principle, but he lists a whole bunch of evil things that we are to avoid. The chapters 12 in the book of Romans, all the way to the end of the book, is about your relationship with other Christians and behaviors that you're prohibited from and behaviors that you're allowed. My, there are commandments, aren't there? It's just that we don't have them posted on a list of 10. And we don't have to keep checking in our pocket, you know, for the, got the 10 commandments there, which one am I keeping here? Because as I've already pointed out, the 10 commandments were not comprehensive enough to capture all of your creative sins. See, if I just gave you 10, you'd find a way to in between. You'd find a way that it doesn't fit this, but it doesn't fit that, but it's still sin. Yep, the law was intended to make sin exceedingly sinful. And that's what it's all about, and it was not meant to be a loving thing. There are those that say that we don't need commandments, and Paul, he gives what? How many of them are there? 5. Not commit adultery, 1. Murder, 2. Steal, 3. False witness, 4. Covet, 5. He gives 5. Now that's the half of the 10 commandments. And since the Apostle Paul only lists 5, could I suggest to you, well, I only have to keep 5. Well, of course not. Your whole point was he's talking about your relationship to other people. That's what he's talking about in Romans chapter 13 and Romans chapter 12 and so forth and so on. It's so ridiculous, this idea that you don't need to have commandments, you don't need to have rules and things that govern behavior. And yet that is a current situation in our country. That is what the girl who wrote the letter wants. Just show this kind of, whatever it is, this fuzzy, pillowy love, she calls it, which allows her friends to go on in homosexuality, which will condemn them to an everlasting hell. Is that love? That's treachery. If you love your child, will you let that little rascal walk into a fire? Of course not. Will you let him walk out onto the street with cars blowing back and forth? Of course not. You love the little booger and you're going to smack him, aren't you? See, the very notion that love doesn't have commandments is a stupid one. It's not just silly, it's stupid. Stupid. God has given us the standards by which we live. He has given us the commandments. He said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Still a good commandment. Still a commandment that is going to last forever. And I don't care how common it is. Adultery is wrong, folks. Now, here's something else I'm going to tell you right now. You might as well get used to it. I think that as sin gets worse and worse, and we see, for instance, of Catholic priests that are always involved in sexual scandals and everything else. We finally say, I've actually said this in the privacy of my own home, and now I'll share it with you to just show you how stupid it is. I say, boy, wouldn't it be nice to just have a priest that had a thing for girls? At least it would be natural, but still, it would be terribly wrong. That's a horrible thought, but do you see what sin does? It makes you think that one sin is worse than the other. I'm telling you right now, the sin of homosexuality, Aaron, that this person was promoting, is not greater than the sin of adultery. They're both horrid sins. I think that we forget sometimes that we can play the margins on this thing, and as long as it's sort of natural, we can kind of fool with it. How many people have I counseled in this very church that were living together, not married, and wanted me to believe that they're living Christian lives? They get the wrong person when they do that. And it's always a kind of a quick dismissal when they finally realize that I'm not going to tolerate that. I might counsel with you, but as long, if you think I'm going to counsel with you believing that God is going to bless this union, you must be terribly wrong. God has rules about relationships. Christianity and the Christian faith is about relationships. First, your primary relationship with God. And with that, there are rules. He said, except you repent, you shall perish. Well, goodness, I don't know as I can keep your rules, sir. No, we don't say that. There's rules to relationships. And love, there are rules to love. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, but it is not some sloppy idea of love. But there are things that you do to love your neighbor. You do not covet their stuff. You do not steal from them. You do not have an adulterous relationship with either one of them. Any of those things, there are things, commandments that you must do if you're going to fulfill the law. Love does fulfill the law, but it does so by keeping the law. Not the Ten Commandments. Is everybody understanding here? The Ten Commandments are kept. I hope none of you are breaking the Ten Commandments. On purpose, anyway. I still, like I say, I don't believe that only by through faith can I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, which the Scriptures kept repeating time and time again. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul, with all your brain, with all your heart, with all the... What? I'm not really good at that. You understand? I'm still struggling with that. But through faith, I believe I do that. I love the Lord with my heart. But I'm not as... Even those, I don't... But I hope that we are in our relationships with man. I hope you're keeping those. I hope that you're not stealing. I hope that you're not committing adultery. I hope that you're not murdering. I hope that you're not coveting. Wrongly coveting and all those things. Now I'd have to go back to the first four, and then I would don't know if you're keeping the Sabbath or not. But that's for this afternoon. Yes, you are. You are keeping the Ten Commandments, but I hope that's not all. As Jesus said in the New Testament, when he on the Sermon on the Mount, he took the law from an outside reference point of Ten Commandments on stone into your heart. He took it outside and put it inside. And that inside law said, not only is it wrong to have adultery with a woman, but if you look upon a maiden to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. What? Didn't he just exacerbate the whole problem right there? Didn't he make it harder? It's one thing to not have an adulterous relationship with a woman, it's another to not even think in your heart or to look upon a maiden to lust after her. Why? Because we have to love them if you can avoid that. Love can. And love does. My. We have this love that flows out of us. We have the love that comes from the Holy Spirit of God. And it is a love that keeps the commandments. No, it goes much further. It loves your neighbor as yourself. You owe me, according to the title. Let me ask you this. If I was... Now, I'm going to take it the other way around. Maybe I'm asking too much. But if somebody was holding me hostage and you could release me by sacrificing yourself, would you do that? I would do it for you. Thank you. I appreciate that. That is Christian love. The willingness to lay down your life for a brother. That's love. That's what we want to promote in this, in our faith. Now let me go back, if I can, to this illustration of the homosexuality in the letter. Then there came a response, and it came back at Aaron, and said, "Well, he just quotes four scriptures." I love it. Four scriptures proved his point. That don't mean anything. Quit being a bigot, narrow-minded, and all that kind of stuff. So it's okay for her, in her loving way, this is another girl, as I understand, in her loving way to call him a bigot and a narrow-minded pig, I guess, or whatever she said. It's okay to do that. But let's just have love for the homosexual. Now look, folks, if you're going to show love for the homosexuals, some of you need to. Some of you have relations. Some of you have friends who are homosexuals. Don't you? Of course you do. Now, how are you going to love them? It is a dicey situation. Because you have to have a firm understanding of what true love is. And if you, like that person did, are willing to accept that person and just go on in a common relationship, never mentioning, never paying attention, never differing with that, just let them go on. That, dear folks, is not love in the way that the scriptures do it. Teach it. Not at all. I'm sorry. I don't care if it's a loved one. You must say to that loved one, "Look, my heart grieves. But I gotta tell you the truth. If you continue in this evil and forbidden behavior, you'll be judged for it." Now you can say that in a fashion that is not angry, that is one that is grieving and one that loves. Because if you don't love that person, I mean, if you don't tell that person, if you don't warn that person of the danger to come, you are not loving that person. And the only way that you really can love them correctly is to gently and with a grieving heart warn them of the danger to come. You have expressed this love. Love that does no harm to a neighbor. And it keeps the law. We have to love those that differ from us. We are not saying that homosexuals, that we wish them all to die and go to hell. We don't. We wish them all to repent of their behavior and to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I have a ministry to homosexuals as much as I do to you. But I will not simply dismiss their behavior, which is clearly outlined in the scripture as sinful. I will not dismiss it and say, "Oh, don't pay attention to that. I'm going to love you anyway," with this kind of amorphous, whatever you kind of call it, love. No, that's not love at all. I want to express it in a Christian love. And that is one that warns. The Christian love warns when necessary. Doesn't it? Isn't that what Leviticus 19 said? Rebuke your neighbor. How do you love him? You rebuke him. Why? Because he's in danger. If he's violating God's law, you rebuke him. And in so doing, you express love for that neighbor. Love does no harm. And when you let them go along in dangerous behavior, you're doing them harm. It is not Christian love. I hope I've made our point clear on that. I want to talk about the second problem. Let me stay there just for a minute. I'll give you one more illustration of how love is mistaken. And it has to do, because I've heard this. You might have heard this. Of a person who's married but having an affair with another person. I'm going to use a man, although that can go both ways, folks, and you know that. I've actually heard it said, well, you know, my wife and I just don't love one another, and my girlfriend or this lady I'm seeing, we just have this really powerful love for one another, and I'm sure that God wants us to love one another. No, I'm not sure of that at all. And I said, you're a lying sack of ashes. No, you cannot justify sin by using love to cover over sin. Having an extramarital affair is never loving. Never, never, never! And whatever that affection, whatever that is not love. It is never that. But you hear it justified. And you hear the same thing for the homosexual, for all of the others. These are current issues in our society. It's everywhere present that we're supposed to love people no matter what their behaviors are. That is not the Christian love. The Christian love has commandments and rules, and God lays them out very clearly. But the second error that is often made of these texts, and that is, this thing that says love that does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. All I have to do is that I have to keep the commandments and I am loving. All I have to do is keep the rules and I'm loving people. That's just as wrong. You understand what I'm talking about? If I do everything right, I'm being a loving person. You know that's not true. You know, legalists are people that are doing everything right that are the cold-heartedest people you've ever met. And you don't have to be a loving person to keep the rules. It's kind of like the military. In the military, those of you who have been in the military, I guess it's Clay and me. We can keep the rules. But what does that do? It only keeps us from getting in trouble, right? But you can keep all the rules and hate the military. You might not have been one, but I was. You could keep all the rules. I was taught to keep the rules. I didn't want any problem, and so I did. But I hated the military. And the same thing is true in the Christian and relationships that we have with one another. The very notion that if I keep the laws and if I keep the commandments and follow after all the rules, that I'm therefore loving is a false doctrine. Love does no harm to their neighbor. But just simply keeping all the rules doesn't make you a loving person. No, no, no. It's much further than that. Christian love is sacrificial. If there's nothing more apparent from the New Testament, it is that Christ was a sacrifice for us and that we are to follow in His footsteps. If you haven't read Colossians chapter 2, would you please read it this afternoon? You are to be like Christ. And that means to sacrifice yourself. I asked you earlier this terrible Sophie's Choice kind of thing. If your pastor is in danger of dying, would you sacrifice yourself? Well, I was expecting most of you to say, no, the old coot's going to go anyway. So just which would be my own thoughts, you know. I would actually rather go that way. But you said yes, and I believed you. I believed you. It is sacrificial. This love that we have is sacrificial. It's not just keeping the rule. It goes much further than keeping the rules. It goes deep into the heart. And it says that I love you to a degree that I'm willing to sacrifice my life on your behalf. Wow. That is the love that fulfills the law. It goes beyond the mere keeping of the commandments, but it doesn't fail to keep the commandments. Does everybody get it? It keeps the commandments, that is, the commandments that relate to relationships with your neighbor. But it is not limited to the commandments. Love is much deeper than that. And it goes clear to the sacrifice of oneself for that brother or sister. That's why it says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, later on in this afternoon, we'll talk about this a little bit further in terms of we'll be whether or not just the fulfilling of the law. So therefore, the law must be the New Testament rule. No, that's not true. Love, which is far more comprehensive than law, keeps the law in its small portion of what it is all about, but it is greater than the law. That's the whole thing. The New Testament law, or the New Testament law of love, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, those are the two great commandments. Now that we've talked about that, I want to finish with going back to the first commandment. All the time, and the ones that we read, the first commandment is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And the second is likened to the first, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But it is the first one that is the first. No one can show genuine Christian love without first having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Did you just get what I did? Said? Does that invalidate two unbelieving people that get married and love one another? Not in the least. But I'm telling you, they are not expressing this love. It is something inferior to that. That is the reason why when you get married, the scripture says, for all of those, that you ought to marry in the Lord. Why? Because you don't want to be unequally yoked together in, if you will, the qualitative aspects of love. That person may love you, but it doesn't have the Christian element of this love. Love rises above the law. Love is the keeping of the law and all of those things, and it doesn't come from the unregenerate heart. Whatever comes out of the unregenerate heart is an inferior thing to this love. And any Christian ought to avoid being married or yoked together with an unbeliever. Those of you who know us personally already know that that's true in one of my daughter's case. It has caused grief in my life. Do I still love my daughter? You betcha. Does that fact still affect our relationship? You betcha. It's been how many years now? Long time. It's not as though we don't have a relationship. She comes and visits, and I love her dearly. But there's an issue there. That's the reason I didn't go to her wedding. Neither Bev nor I. Did we not want to? Are you kidding? We want to do with every fiber of our soul. But we love the Lord. And that love is superior to all of the others. Our hope is that that should come together in some ways. At this point, it doesn't seem like it will. That her husband would repent and come to know this love. Not yet. But we've already tasted of that. And we already have tasted of the beautiful love that we have in Christ Jesus that supersedes, for instance, even our own. Jesus is the one I love. Bev is distinctly second. Ask her if she cares. No, because it's true of her. She is the same thing. And those of you who have been through the good, what is that wife thing? The excellent wife? No, that's the right order. Christian love loves first its Savior. And after that, the fullness of that love flows out into the relationship that you have with your partner and with that that you love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. But you cannot love by simply keeping rules and remembering always that the first rule is even more important than the second one. And that is, those are the two great commandments, but the first one is the first one. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Above every other thing that is in your life. Love God. Let's pray. This love, Lord, we know that it rises above understanding, that mankind doesn't seem to understand that. They're even often offended when we say such things, that we wouldn't love our wives first. But Lord, I'm fully aware that it's you who have given me my wife. And that you loved her and her soul from before the foundation of the world. But this is only a momentary arrangement while we're here on this earth. And that later in eternity we will not be given in marriage. But rather we'll be around the throne together, known as we are known, rejoicing and adoring the one that we love most, Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. We pray, Father, that we will take to heart these teachings of the New Testament and what the Apostle Paul is trying to get across here, that love does no harm to their neighbor, that we would express that yet more and more every day. Father, help us to learn how to love that neighbor that is in sin, that is committing awful sins. And help us to love them in the proper way. To gently tell them and to warn them with a weeping heart that we desire their soul for Christ's sake. But that they must lay down their rebellion against Him, else they perish. It's a hard message, and love ain't easy. And sometimes love is not cheap, as the song says. There's a high cost to this love. For our Savior, it was death on a cross. And we see that, Lord. And so we turn and are ready to give our very being to the love that He expressed to us. We desire to have the same love back to Him. Help us, Father, to realize Christian love and recognize that we owe our brothers and sisters this eternal obligation to love one another. For by it, all will know that we are His disciples, your disciples. Thank you, Father, for this great truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.